Good evening. This is Peter Hammond in the studio for From the Front Line. This Thursday, the 10th of May, is Ascension Day. The chaos and destruction caused by so many looters and arsonists during May Day, the 1st of May, reminds us that the holidays a country chooses to center its calendar around has consequences. Everything has consequences. Glamorizing Marxists and revolutionaries and promoting evolution, secular humanism, and situation ethics can have disastrous results. A Christian leader asked me, why is there so much corruption, crime, and violence in our society? Why is there so much immorality, even in the church? Why are we seeing so many moral failures and scandals and corruption amongst leaders and business in every level of government and even in the church? My answer was that these are the inevitable consequences of the spirit of our age. Antinomianism, the rejection of God's moral law, inevitably leads to lawlessness, where every man does what is right in his own eyes. Egalitarianism, the rejection of authority and a lack of respect for elders, produces a self-centered and selfish society. And evolutionism, with its denial of the Creator, and therefore its denial of accountability to Almighty God on the Day of Judgment. Evolutionism erodes the very foundations of Christian civilization. It is an attempt to retroactively abort God, if that was possible. Foundational truths have been ignored. Vital pillars of Christian civilization have been eroded. And what we are seeing today are the inevitable outworkings of false doctrine. False doctrines have been introduced. False doctrines have been tolerated, false doctrines have been accepted, and in many cases, false doctrines are being celebrated within the church. One of the great problems of our age is the separating of salvation from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ alone who can save us. We cannot accept Jesus as our personal Savior without submitting to Him as our Lord. Those who preach a cheap grace and an easy believism, just believe, just pray this prayer, just raise your hand, it's easy to be a Christian. Those people who preach that kind of cheap grace and easy believism, they are betraying an inadequate understanding of the problem of sin. They're betraying an inadequate understanding of the nature of God. And they're betraying an inadequate understanding of Christ's mission on earth. They do not seem to fully grasp our purpose and our calling as Christians. It would not have been sufficient for Moses to have proclaimed to the Hebrews who were slaves that they should accept that in Yahweh they have perfect freedom, whilst leaving them in bondage and under the whip of slavery in Egypt. Anything less than deliverance from Egypt and freedom from the bondage of slavery, anything less would have been inadequate. God's eternal purposes required that His people, the people of Israel, survive the Passover, leave Egypt, cross through the Red Sea, and be established as a free people in the Promised Land. Sin is serious. We're all too tolerant of sin. We're far too tolerant of sin. Yet sin is more defiling than dirt. It is more dangerous than an unexploded bomb. It is even more life-threatening than a deadly disease. It is more insidious than a virus. That is why the word of God comes to us in Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 9. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. Compromise and chaos has had catastrophic consequences. Cowardice has had catastrophic consequences. We can recognize the outworkings of the classic tactics of corrupt and conquer. Confuse, divide, and conquer. All too many have been deceived, distracted, divided, and disarmed. There are those who are openly advocating the destruction of Christian civilization. Yet, in the face of these disastrous developments, the response of all too many Christian leaders has been compromise and cowardice. Ascension Day points us to the solution to all these problems. The Ascension deals with authority. Christ has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. 1 Peter 3:22. The trouble is today that most Christians just want to stop with Christmas. Christmas celebrates the greatest gift of all, the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Christ, when God took on human form and was born in Bethlehem. The incarnation is very important, but many would prefer to think of Christ as the babe in a manger, rather than as the risen, ascended, sovereign Lord reigning on high, King of kings and Lord of lords. Yet the classic Christmas verse in Isaiah 9 verse 6 to 7 declares, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now many like the idea of a child is born, but they would like to stop there and edit out, "The government shall be upon his shoulder. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will perform this." That is all too intimidating, too threatening, too intrusive. It has implications for all areas of life. Today, most like to think of a God of love and mercy who answers our prayers and provides all our needs. However, we are not too comfortable with a holy God, a holy and righteous God who sees everything, even the thoughts of our hearts, who is the eternal judge before whom we must stand and give an account to, even of every idle word ever spoken on the day of judgment. We live in a society where God's government is decapitalized, but man's civil government is capitalized. Many people who put a small g for gospel put a capital G for civil government. When we refer to the government, capital G, we should actually be only referring to God. God is the one who determines whether we live or die. He determines when the rain comes. He is the one who makes food come out of the earth. God is the one who maintains the whole cosmos and the universe and determines the seasons. God alone is all-knowing. God alone is everywhere present. And God alone is all-powerful. All human authority is limited authority. All human authority is delegated by God. All human authority is answerable to Almighty God. And we, all of us, will have to bow before Christ and we will have to give an account of our lives. On the day of judgment, we are told that every idle word ever spoken, we will have to give an account of on the last dreadful day of judgment. Each one of us have an appointment. It's an appointment we will not be able to be late for. It's an appointment we will not be able to miss. Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto man to die once, but after this, the judgment." So, yes, Christmas is super important. The incarnation is vitally important. But do we realize that it wasn't just a child being born, but a son given? "The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, the second most important holiday in the Christian calendar is Good Friday, when we solemnly remember the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, his great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins and my sins. He endured the punishment we deserve so that we could enjoy the reward only he deserves. This should inspire us afresh to repentance, to thanksgiving, and to consecration. In view of God's mercy, we should present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We read in Romans 12, verse 1. However, many Christians stop right there. They worship Jesus as the suffering Savior. Roman Catholics have crucifixes depicting Christ suffering on the cross. As Protestants, we tend to reject crucifixes. To us, Christ is no longer suffering on the cross, so we prefer a simple, plain, rugged cross, because Christ is no longer on the cross. He is the risen, ascended, victorious, King of kings, and Lord of lords, reigning on high. He will one day come to judge the living and the dead. The third great Christian holiday event is Resurrection Sunday. This is a joyous celebration of the victory of Christ over death, over hell, and over the grave. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. He is alive forevermore. Death is defeated. Our Lord and Savior has been declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, we read in Romans 1 verse 4. Now it is a fact that all the founders of religions are dead. You can visit the graves of Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Marx and Lenin, but in Jerusalem there is an empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen, you read on the door at the garden tomb. Raised for our justification, as Romans 4:25 tells us. So those are three of the important calendar events in any Christian calendar: Christmas, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. But the missing pillar of the faith is Ascension Day. It is absolutely essential that we include Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. 40 days after the resurrection, we celebrate the Ascension of Christ. And 10 days later, or 50 days after Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, when the church was born in the fires of Pentecost, when God sent his Holy Spirit, and the church was born in prayer in the upper room. This is what is all too often missing. 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the Ascension of Christ into heaven. This year it falls on the 10th of May. Christ Jesus is alive forevermore. He is exalted. He is enthroned at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is above every other name. He is above every authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. We have an advocate in heaven. He hears our prayers. He will crush all his enemies. He will come again. Therefore, we must go and make disciples of all nations. It is most significant that so many governments, including the South African government, have seen fit to abolish the long-established Ascension Day as a public holiday. Ascension Day deals with authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 has the Great Commission. The Ascension proclaims the Lordship of Jesus Christ in all areas of life. Jesus Christ has all authority. Jesus Christ is Lord over the world of business, over the world of sports, over the world of entertainment and government. Jesus Christ is Lord over the schools, the shops, the cinemas, the factories, the hospitals, the law courts, and parliament. In fact, he is the supreme authority. The Supreme Court, the Constitutional Court of the land, are only having delegated authority answerable to Almighty God. He is the ultimate Supreme Court justice in all eternity. Every single doctor, every single teacher will have to individually stand before Almighty God in the day of judgment. Every policeman, every businessman, every parliamentarian will have to bow before Almighty God on the day of judgment. Every factory worker and farmer, every mother, father, magistrate, and Supreme Court justice will have to individually stand before Almighty God on the day of judgment and give an account of our lives to him. And here, either well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, cursed, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Ascension proclaims the vindication and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that the high priest, Caiaphas, and King Herod and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, they all thought that they were very important and powerful people. Yet these religious leaders, these political leaders, they're only remembered today because they arrogantly dismissed and unjustly condemned Jesus Christ, the only holy, righteous, innocent person ever walked this planet. They did not recognize that they were condemning to death the Creator, the giver of life. They were judging the eternal judge before whom each one of them will have to stand. Psalm 68, 18 says, "You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive." The Emperor Augustus, who issued the decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, requiring everyone to return to their town of birth, Augustus could not have realized at the time that the baby born to third-class subjects in faraway Judea would one day judge him. Psalm 110 verse 1, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The ascension proclaims the ultimate victory of Christ. Those that refuse to bow to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord today, in the day of grace, when forgiveness is freely available, they will one day be forced to bow to Christ as the eternal judge, when the day of grace will be ended, when the gate to heaven will be firmly closed, when they will be condemned to hell forever. "He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries." Psalm 110, 5-6 tells us that the day will come when the Lord will execute justice on all those heads of states who thought that they were beyond justice, that they had power to break every law, that they could abuse people that they were meant to serve and protect. The question is not, will you bow to Christ? The question is, when will you bow to Christ? Will you bow to Christ as Savior and Lord today, in the day of grace, when the door to heaven is wide open? Or will you only bow to Christ as your judge on the day of judgment, when the day of grace is over, when the door to heaven is firmly closed? "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Philippians 2 verse 9 to 10 makes it clear, every knee shall bow. There is no authority above that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow before him. Compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, the kings of the earth and the presidents of this world are as nothing. They're like dust in the scales. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this includes King Herod. This includes Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. This includes Caesar Augustus and Nero. This includes Muhammad, Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, Mao Zedong, and Fidel Castro, and so many others. It has been a tradition in the English-speaking world that whenever the Handel's Messiah concert is played, that when the anthem of the King of Kings, the great Hallelujah chorus, is sung, that everyone stands to their feet and remains standing for the duration of the Hallelujah chorus. This tradition began with King George II in England, that when Handel's Messiah was first played, he stood up. And of course, when the king stands, everyone must stand. And this became a tradition. And the time came, more than a century and a half later, when Queen Victoria was at a performance of Handel's Messiah. She was very advanced in age at the time, and the organizers said to her, "Your Majesty, we understand that you will want to stand for the Hallelujah chorus, but please remain seated. Everyone will understand because of your age." When the time came for Handel's Messiah's Hallelujah chorus, Queen Victoria, Empress of India, Empress of the largest emperor the world had ever seen, Empress over approximately one-fifth of the world's population and land surface, when a time came, she stood up and she bowed for the duration of the Hallelujah chorus. You cannot remain seated for the anthem of the King of Kings. She realized that although she had a vast domain, she was as nothing before the Creator, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the eternal judge before whom each one of us must stand. On several occasions, while I've been witnessing to Muslims, I've heard a Muslim declare, "I believe as Muhammad believes." At this, I normally reply, "Then you must become a Christian." "But Muhammad did not believe in Jesus," they often reply. "No, he did not then, but he does believe now." The ascension is a great comfort to believers who suffer injustice and persecution. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That comes from Hebrews 4:14-16. We have an advocate in heaven. He hears our prayers. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He will come again. He will crush all his enemies. Therefore, we should not fear governments, popes, or councils. We must not bow before idols, nor may we compromise the essential principles of our faith. In the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were being told to bow before the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, we can say, "Our God, whom we serve, he is able to save us." And he will. But even if he does not save us, we will not bow before your idols, nor will we serve your gods. Though Christ is physically absent from this earth, yet through his Holy Spirit, he is spiritually present. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He is all-powerful. 1 Corinthians 15:25 declares, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." The ascension is a wonderful reminder and assurance to us that the earth will be filled with a knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Notice what it's saying. First time I heard that, I thought it meant that as the seas cover the earth, and gee, that means that we could expect perhaps 60% of the world to be evangelized. The waters cover about 60% of the earth. But it doesn't say as the waters cover the earth. It says as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14 is telling us that the world will be completely evangelized, completely in acknowledgement of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How much of the sea is covered in water? Well, pretty much 100%. The ascension proclaims Christ's glorious triumph. The ascension proclaims his future return on the day of judgment. Therefore, we as Christians should return to observing Ascension Day as a holy day to our faith and applying its implications into every area of life. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ascension Day calls us to committed discipleship. Ascension Day calls us to consistent obedience. We need to take up our cross. We need to forsake the world. We need to follow Christ. Israel could not fulfill its calling by remaining in bondage, in slavery, in chains, under the whip in Egypt. Neither can we effectively serve God today if we remain conformed to this world, in bondage to its sins, in bondage to its idolatries. No. Attempting to accept the benefits of Jesus Christ as your Savior, while denying his authority as Lord of all areas of life, is futile. That is why we need to go beyond celebrating Christmas. Go beyond worshipping the babe in a manger. We need to go beyond accepting the atonement for our sins. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ is the risen, victorious, ascended, reigning on high, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? Jesus said, Do not fear man who can only kill a body and after that he can do nothing else. I will tell you whom to fear, Jesus said. Fear God. Fear God who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell forever. Question. Do you fear God? Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you studying his word? Are you seeking to faithfully apply biblical principles to all areas of life? Let us go back to the Bible for reformation and revival. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. May I encourage you to visit our website, frontlinemissionsa.org. Frontlinemissionsa.org. You'll find a wide range of articles, links, digital resources, audiovisual materials, both on our sermon audio page, on the slideshare page of PowerPoints, videos on our Vimeo gallery. You'll find a range of materials and resources on applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life, including the Ten Commands, God's Perfect Law of Liberty book, the Great Essential of Missions, the Great Essential of Reformation, Victorious Christians Who Changed the World, Putting Feet to Faith. There's a range of resources and materials designed to help you make the Great Commission your supreme ambition. The Great Commission is great. It contains a great truth. Jesus Christ is Lord over all areas of life. It contains a great commission. We are to make disciples of all nations. It contains a great command. We are to teach obedience to all things that the Lord has commanded us. And it contains a great promise. The Lord himself promises to be with us for all time. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Is the Great Commission your supreme ambition? Give up your small ambitions and follow Christ. Amen.